Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, everyone, and welcome to Cobblestones Chronicles. I'm delighted to say today that I've got two of the committee members from Carterton District Historical Society with me, because I popped in there after the last program and discovered all this fantastic stuff that they do, and I got to figure out why I keep digging up little ink pots in my garden, because my garden was part of the school. And I'm sure Vivian and Maria will talk a little bit more about that soon. But I'm absolutely delighted that they came in today. And so we'll hear a bit from them in a moment or two. Just before that, I will say that today the tickets got released for Illuminate, which is the light show at Cobblestones Museum during the midwinter Christmas celebrations. You know, a very country Christmas that happens every year in July. The Illuminate night walk through Cobblestones. It was very popular last year, and it's going to be, the tickets have just been released for the new one. So if you want to go and see that, I'd get in quick if I were you, because we sold out last year. It was very exciting and very well used. So, today we are going to be talking a bit more about Carterton and about what the Historical Society does, and about, you know, things that you might be interested in. But before we do that, how about we have a tune? And I've got Wee Mavericks. I know they're Australian based, but Victoria, who's a songwriter, is a good New Zealand lass, and she plays them and sings beautifully. So this is the title track from their last CD, Heart of Silver, and I'll let her go and sing it for you. Here we go. Wee Mavericks with Heart of Silver.
Will you take this heart of silver? It doesn't shine. It's been tarnished by time. No golden glow from deep within. It only shows a blackish tinge. It ain't warm unless it's pressed against your skin. How I wish that I could give you gold to buy back all you've lost. All I have is this old thing, but it came at a cost. This heart of silver, heart of tin, rings with all the space within. It's a good luck, cold, hard, precious thing, this heart of silver. Will you take this hand? It holds my memories. It's written my story. It has been my shield. It's all I have that'll keep me safe. This is how much I trust you. I won't pull away. It's skin and bone and cold and shaking, but it's yours to hold if you think you can take it. This heart of silver, heart of tin, rings with all the space within. It's a good luck, cold heart, precious thing. This heart. Slow and you can. could give you gold. But I can only offer you this little thing to hold, this heart of silver. It's a good luck, cold heart, precious thing.
Hello again. Well, that's a beautiful song. That's by We Mavericks, who are Lindsay Martin and Victoria Visenger. And we visited them recently in New South Wales. And I had to laugh because they had persuaded us to go to a folk festival, their local folk festival, they told us. And then when we went there, we discovered it was 480 kilometres from where they actually live. That's Australia for you. So it's really funny. So now I'm going to introduce Vivian and Maria from the Carterton District Historical Society. And they're going to introduce themselves and tell you a tiny bit about their own personal history. So here we go. Over to you, Vivian.
Thank you very much, Jeanette. I'm not from Carterton originally. I was born in England, came to New Zealand as a child, as a baby, in fact. Grew up in the Wellington area, moved away, ended up in Auckland, and then came back here to Carterton to retire. So when I joined the Carterton Historical Society, I had no knowledge about Carterton at all, but I was really keen on family history, which is what pulled me into joining the group, along with the president at the time, who wanted a secretary. So I thought, oh, that can't be too hard. So I said, yes, thank you, I'll join. That was in, I think, 2017, 2018, I can't remember exactly. So I've been with the society now, gosh, nine years. So and really enjoy it and love the meeting the people and learning all the time about Carterton. It's lovely.
Oh, thank you. That's great. I mean, I just, when I came into the office, the first thing that struck me was how friendly you all were and, you know, and really wanted to help me. And we had a good laugh about my little ink pots. And you told me quite firmly that, no, you didn't want them. I guess you probably get offered lots of bits and pieces and you really don't have space. Yeah. I mean, you're not a museum, you're a historical society, which I'm looking forward to hearing more about. So over to you, Maria. Would you like to, you're the treasurer right now, so.
Yes, I'm the treasurer. I have a library background, which has come in very handy. excuse me. I'm a born New Zealander from Dutch descent. I answered a call to do some data entry advertised in the Crier. And then I come to the rooms and turn up and they don't have a program. They just use Excel. So we had lists of everything and then we had a list of all the lists. And with the help of the Wairarapa Library Service, they set up a program for us to catalogue all our material, And the idea was eventually it would be on the Carterton Library website and available to everyone. But the Wairarapa Library Service is no longer going, and Carterton District Library have a different system, which ours isn't compatible with, so we're flying on our own now.
Right. Oh, thank you for making sure that the information isn't just captured, but is accessible. Yes. And I loved the program that you showed me, Vivian, where there's a number of aerial maps which you can access, and then we looked at where my house is on the corner of in Brooklyn Road in Carterton, and then you could show me straight away there was a school there. So, and it was like, oh, what a light bulb moment. And it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was, I think 1947 was the aerial photograph that you showed me. And then you showed me overlaid some more aerial photographs from subsequent air passes, I guess. And it was absolutely fascinating to see when, because our house was built in over time, in sections, as it were. The first house was tiny. It was, I think, 50 square meters, which, of course, in today's, and you know, is tiny. It's now 140 square meters. So it's had some additions to it, but it was really interesting to see it and to see what was around it and wasn't around it.
Because your property is in the old part of Carterton, where Carterton originally started, where the original school was, and the businesses were all at that part of town back when Carterton started. So that's why, you know, your area is so interesting.
Yes, it is, and it's it was called 3 Mile, I think.
Mile Bush.
Yeah. So, do you want to say more about 3 Mile Wash?
Okay, I've just got a small piece that I thought I'd let you know about, which kind of pulls in a couple of things. The Historical Society began in 1987, and at the instigation of the Carterton Rotary Club, they thought it would be a good idea to form a group that would help keep photographs and the history of Carterton. So that that was back in 1987. The area originally was called 3 Mile Bush. Back in 1859, it got changed to Carterton after Charles Wilkin Carter. So I've lost the plot. So we've been running now for nearly 40 years at the Historical Society, and the old history of Carterton is fascinating. There's so much that we hold about the early times in Carterton. It's fantastically interesting.
I don't think people realise that quite how old Carterton is and how long it's been a successful town. And, I mean, I'm really enjoying living in Carterton. It's such a practical place to live because it's got useful things like a hardware shop and an electrical shop and stuff like that. And it's very obviously a service town. It's interesting how it was built along State Highway 2, and it seems to go on forever, doesn't it, you know, along the highway.
There is a reason for that. Like Vivian said, the original settlement was around the South End school area. When the railway came in, they decided to put the railway station where they did. The businesses gravitated towards that. There was also a settlement at Clareville, and another settlement at the north end of town around Carrington House.
Yes.
So that's why our town is so long.
Yes.
And it is what it is.
No, it's great because, in fact, it adds interest to it because it's long and it's not very deep, as it were.
No, that's right.
So, and it's very obvious from looking at maps and things that there were farms and very close to town.
Maria knows more about the original farming area, like the way that Carterton was divided on from High Street West and High Street East.
Yes, High Street East was divided into 10-acre sections.
Ah.
And the other side of the road were 40-acre blocks, and that was farmland. Because Carterton wasn't meant to exist. Greytown and Masterton. Carterton started because of the difficulty in building the bridge and the roads. The people needed somewhere to live. They couldn't travel from Greytown through the swamps around the Waihini area to start building roads.
That's great. Thank you. That's that gives a bit of explanation as to why it's long and skinny and not so fat on either side.
It actually, even though these 10-acre blocks were set up on the eastern side of town, a lot of the farmers who came out and took those properties found that they weren't large enough to actually work and operate.
Yeah.
Which is probably why it ended up more housing.
Yes.
Great. Well, let's have another tune, shall we? How about a bit of Tim Finn? I don't know about you guys, but I'm a real fan of Tim Finn. And this one is called Made My Day because it really did make my day when I came in to the historical society. Oh, well, I actually met you in the supermarket, Vivian. You were trying to sell me raffle tickets. I thought, oh, the Carterton. I just checked out the opening hours. It was very funny. And then I came in the next day and found all this information, which was fantastic. And I'd already heard, actually, that you were really useful and very friendly from a friend of mine whose family had settled in Belvedere.
Right.
In the 19th century. And they had originally been, and she got some really useful information and even found a couple of graves. So she was absolutely delighted. I'll get her in sometime to talk about doing her family history, actually. But meantime, let's have a bit of Tim Finn, Made My Day.
Under heavy weather, oh, the lover you got helps me let go.
Tim Finn with Made My Day. It's always a lot listening to Tim Finn. He's great. Now, Vivian and Maria, can you tell us a bit more, please, about what the society does and what you hold? And
okay. we hold various records, business records. We have some plans and deeds that, as we've done research, we have applied for is it Lynn's reports, Lynn's title deeds. So we have quite a selection of them, of the streets that we have worked on. We have some early school records. We have lots of school photographs, even up to present day. Like today will be History Tomorrow, so we don't only look after the old New Carterton history, but also its recent history, because that's important too. That needs to be recorded. We do have some family histories. Some families have written books, which are fantastic. It's not only about family tree, but they've written their family stories. Marlene Ditchfield has done a beautiful book on her family. We have church records and cemetery records, sports clubs and photographs, newspapers. We have some early maps of Carterton. Our oldest one is 1896.
Wow.
It's in a frame and very precious. It's actually an original.
And we refer to these all the time.
Yes, and farm location maps really come in handy too. Especially as one of our members is a farmer and a long-time farming background. And he came in and he said, I don't know anything. And when people come in, visitors come in, he's always got something to say because he knows. And he reckons he didn't know anything. A really great piece of information that we hold is the Tunnicliffe files. Bernie Tunnicliffe recorded, apparently, I've seen it somewhere, 27 cassette tapes of interviews of Carterton people. He transcribed some of the tapes. Other tapes he has just gleaned information from, we think, and put 11 folders of information together on Carterton. And it's based on people's memories. So it may not be factually correct, but it's a great resource. We refer to it often. And he indexed it.
Gosh, that's what a fantastic resource.
It is. Yes.
And so this is all about people who lived in Carterton.
Businesses and places. Yeah. And like before when I said Carterton moved from down the south end of Carterton up to the present time, we can actually go back and find the transition from, say, like Masson's, used to be right down south end of town, and now they moved up. And King's Joinery Furnishings, they were down another part of town and they've moved up. So we've got records of when they did this and time frames. Makes it so much easier to know what happened in the past.
And you were saying about your house and the ink bottles. The school that was there was known as the Wooden School. I don't know if it was always called the Wooden School, but when that became too small, they built another one on across the road where South End School is, out of brick, and that was known as the Brick School. It didn't have much imagination.
I think it's lovely because down the South End, I believe a lot of the streets are named after the children of the developer.
Mm. Yes. That's in the area where I live. Phillip Street, Frederick Street, Charles Street, Gertrude Street, and there was another one, Rachel, named after Nathan's. And he, that area of town was the first, where they put it all subdivided into sections. That was the first area of Carterton that was subdivided.
It's interesting, over time, and I think you find it in Gareth's book that you've got, there was a mayor here in Carterton who changed a lot of the names in town, like Library Street, which is now Holloway Street. And I think it's a shame that it's not Library Street anymore, because that's where the library is, and the library is quite famous. But yes, so a lot of streets have changed names.
Yes, I read that in Gareth's book, The Streets, Streetwise, which is an absolutely excellent book, explains why. I mean, Gareth's writing is fantastic. It's really, really useful about the history of the Wairarapa, basically. And that one, and the look of Carterton with the pictures, it's not so much writing, but it's lovely to see, you know, what it looked like at the time. Lovely. So now tell me a bit more about the library. I think our listeners would be very interested to know about the library.
The books that we have.
No, the actual library.
The actual library in Carterton.
Oh, the Carterton. Yes, of course. It's the only purpose-built library still functioning as a library in New Zealand.
Correct.
Yes. I don't know how old it is. I'm not good with dates.
It's amazing to think, you know, it was purpose-built. It was a purpose-built library, and if I remember correctly, it was about 1880, something like that.
It might have been even earlier than that, because Charles Rookin Carter had a lot to do with the library. He would go back to England and bring books back to the library. I think papers passed, if you're wanting to find out about that type of thing. It actually tells you how many books he's bought back and how much he spent on bringing the books back. It's fascinating.
I think he was a very forward-looking man.
Considering he didn't ever live here.
Yeah.
Carterton.
Yes, that's right.
He did a lot of good for Carterton.
Yes, he certainly did.
In our collection, we have three massive old books of library issues. And it just has, like, each borrower has a page, beautiful writing at the top of the page, with their name written on the top. And then every time they borrow a book, they've had the date, and then they put the, each book has a number. And they would have the date and the number of the book. Some of them were prolific readers.
Because it was by name, each page was by name, so it's to have this. They're big, massive books.
Yep. Yeah, that's.
We don't know what they read, because it just had the number, not the title of the book. But that doesn't matter. You can see that an ancestor was a prolific reader.
Mm.
And I think that's neat. It's a neat thing to find out.
I absolutely think it's a lovely thing to find out, and to know that your ancestor read, so was a prolific
reader. That's right.
I totally approve of that, being a prolific reader myself. I'm one of those lucky people who reads very quickly, and I get through a book a day often, and much to my husband's disgust, because he's not a fast reader, and he reads it takes him a month to read something. But, so it's amazing when you think about it, that books had to come all the way from England. They were very precious, and they would be passed around and really enjoyed. So, having lived in Fiji for a couple of years and going to the library, that was really interesting, because a lot of the books in the library in Fiji are very old and a bit pages stuck together a little bit because it gets very humid. And I belong to a reading a book club in Fiji, but rather than all read the same books, because we couldn't get 7 or 8 copies of the same book, we would lump around to each other's houses boxes of books and share them out and say, this one was really good because... So it's kind of a little bit like what it might have been like here in the early days when books were very expensive. And aren't we lucky to have Headley's Bookshop?
Yes.
It's such a fabulous bookstore. I went in there a couple of weeks ago and I'd heard a poem read out on national radio. And I thought, that's really interesting. I think I'd like to read that. And dear Steve behind the counter looked up national radio to see what they'd been reading out. and ordered it for me. I'll be picking it up later today. Wow. So, I mean, they really are, they're fantastic. And they have such an amazing resource upstairs. As Carterton Library does, it has a really good resource on books in some of these little pile I've got. I've been reading this one, The Yarns of Our Youth, which is lovely. It's stories from people's younger days and stories that have been passed down.
Talking of like stories, one story that we had... we were in the rooms one day and two ladies came in from Tauranga and they came in looking for a book and it's called
Dear Sister.
Dear Sister. And we've got a copy, but they were related to the two people who are in the book. And it relates to Samuel Oates and Samuel Oates's family. And so we gave them a lot of information of what we had, and then I started ringing around while they were there to see if any of the book places had it. It was produced by Wairarapa Archives. They didn't have a copy. The library didn't have a copy. I rang the Featherston Bookshops. They didn't have a copy. So anyway, the girls went and left, and I came up to Masterton, and I went to that little bookshop next to the Regent and spoke to the gentleman there, and he... took my name and phone number and what I wanted. And about 2 weeks later, he rang and said, I've got 2 copies of this book. Would you like them? So we got them and sent them up to these girls, and they were over the moon.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. So that's the bookshop next to the Regent that's run by Mark.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Yeah. Who actually is a radio. He's on the radio on Saturday nights. He does... what's it called? Something Babylon. It's a music show of all kinds of different bits of music. And it will come back to me in a moment, no doubt. Now, talking of music, why don't I play another song? Because I've got a lovely one called Paper Darts lined up, ready to go. And it's all about throwing paper darts. Let's listen to it.
I've heard it on cruel songs. I've seen it in cruel songs.
come apart. Spark it over, nurture the embers, and fill up your
Welcome back. That was Paper Darts, about throwing paper darts at people. And another song by Wee Mavericks, which I really enjoyed. And so back to Vivian and Maria. So I want to say that I heard that there's some of the things that you do. I had a little taste of some of them, but what else do you do?
Maria is mainly involved with the window displays that we put out on the front window of High Street. And she's very good at it. She does a lot of the research and puts them together really quickly. And we try and do it relating to something that's actually happening in town. So Anzac Day, we'll try and do something Anzac way. Or if we're doing an article in the Crier, we'll try and match the window display with what the Crier's about. So at the moment we've got
Powerboard.
The Powerboard building, which is the by Memorial Square, the beautiful brick
building. Yeah, it's a beautiful building.
So that's there, and that was in the Crier last month. So Maria's brilliant at doing that. So it's one of the things that she does. The Crier articles, we try and do one a month. We fluctuate who does it. Maria does it sometimes. I do it sometimes. Other times in the past, we've had other committee members writing up. Just trying to think of interesting things in Carterton, things which are a bit quirky, some interesting stories, things that people will kind of like, might find interesting to read rather than just boring history. So.
No, the window displays are great. I have noticed them as I wander past, because I often cycle up that way. And I've noticed that they're you've got a lot of information, but I also heard that you've got an AGM coming up, because I read that in the local newspaper.
Yes, we do. The AGM is 19th of April, which is not far away. It's being held at our rooms at 142 High Street North. Everyone's welcome to come along. It's from 2 to 4pm, and we've got a guest speaker called Hugo Stephen, who he's actually Greytown-based, but he's got a good history on museums and historical information. So hopefully it'll be a really interesting talk. And it'll be followed by afternoon tea, cup of coffee, cup of tea, and some food and a chit-chat. So anyone's welcome to come along. The biggest thing that we're trying to do, though, is to garner some more members and committee members in particular. We're losing one committee member for sure. He's leaving Carterton, unfortunately. So we need to have one replaced. And there was another committee member who said he was no longer standing, but we've coerced him to hang on for another year. So desperately, well, not desperately, we really would love some, you know, some new blood, some new people with some interest to come and join us.
Right. So what would you be looking for in a committee member? What?
Ideally, it would be really lovely if there was somebody who wanted to work hands-on with us on Tuesday and Thursdays. But I know that's really difficult, and a lot of the committee don't do that. They are working people, and so it's not always possible. It just helps spread the load between Maria and I and our four volunteers that come and help with us. There's something else I was going to say just then, and it went out of my head.
Well, I suppose having an interest in the history of the district.
Not even necessary. I mean, I had no knowledge of Carterton. My passion was family history, genealogy. And from there, my enjoyment of Carterton grew from that. And learning about Carterton from somebody who didn't know anything about the place, the information we've got is lovely, and people, you grow with it. It's fascinating. The people who come in, we're always learning. We get people come in with photographs, old photographs, and we start delving into what time of year they were, who was in them, why were they there. It's just fascinating. Fascinating. And if somebody came to help us, we'd just slowly get them into the system, give them small jobs to do, as long as they're quite happy to work alone, more autonomously than us actually teaching them all everything. We've got data entry work, which is might be a bit boring, but it's something that needs to be done. We've always got things that are going on. Like at the moment, we're working on a business occupier list, which was done years ago, but it's old. It's old, out of date. So it's a list of all the buildings, the business buildings in Carterton's High Street, of who was in the building right from the beginning and up till today. So we've got it up to probably about 2015, and then things have changed hugely. Carterton's moving, the shops move, Almo's moves from one side of the street to another, and the coffee shops move around, especially now with all the buildings being changed with the earthquake issues. So we're actually updating it. So it's a massive job, and I could do with some help. It's fascinating, and you learn lots. So the three of the volunteers at the moment are going through and making going back through all the old records, through all the old telephone books, through all the newspapers and adverts, and making sure that we've got all the information of all the people that were in these buildings. It's amazing how much background is needed to actually update this information.
And we have a couple of empty spaces in Carterton now. One building burnt down on the corner of Holloway Street. And people walk past, visitors come into Carterton. What used to be there?
Mm.
And across the road where a building has been demolished, it's just a big empty space. What used to be there? And people who come back to Carterton for a visit, who used to live here. Ooh, what used to be there?
Yes. So, I mean, in common with a lot of buildings, there's a lot of earthquake strengthening going on, yes, which is really important, mm-hmm, so that the buildings can continue to be used. And I've noticed there's a couple of empty spaces. So it's great to know what was there.
And the outcome of all this work will be a piece of paper in the window of each business outlining what used to be there.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yes. The building we're in has two business premises. So we have two in our window that are completed. Across the road at Wild Oats, that's been completed. And the bazaar, Harper's Bazaar, what's it called?
Bazaar Attraction.
Bazaar Attractions, yes. That's got a completed one as well.
And there's a notice board on
Millennium Square.
Millennium Square, which has got what was there as well. Because that used to be a furnishing shop and it got burnt down. So just interesting things about what Carterton was.
And it is an interesting place because, we've got the lovely story of Charles Rookin Carter sending over to Carterton 12 seedlings of gum trees, and Samuel Oates stopped at the House of the Rising Sun in Greytown, and three of the seedlings got appropriated and planted in Greytown. So there is a lot of, crossover of history between Greytown and Carterton. It's interesting how they both developed. So it's always interesting to hear it. I'd really like to say thank you so much for coming in today. We're going to have you back again, that's for sure. It's been great. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about the Historical Society?
Can I just add one little thing about one of the projects we did, which was funded by the Carterton District Council, and that was producing 19 plaques that are on buildings and places around Carterton, which are they're historical places, but they're not places of historical importance, if that makes sense. And the following year, we were funded also to produce a pamphlet, which then opens out, and there's a map and small photographs with a description of all these properties or buildings. So that's something we spent a lot of time on and a lot of effort on, and I think it's amazing for Carterton to have. We just keep all the time working away, trying to improve on what we have.
I'd like to put a plug for our Facebook page and website.
That's a good thing.
Great. So what's the name of your Facebook page?
It's just very simple, Carterton District Historical Society.
So we just look up Carterton District Historical Society on Facebook and we'll get through to you. And the website is?
in one word, all lowercase, Carterton District Historical Society.org.
There you go. So that's a great way of finding out more about what you do. But as I said, we'll have you back again, I'm sure. Well, that's it for today's programme. It's been really excellent having you here, Vivian and Maria. Thank you so much for spending the time to come here and talk to us. And I'm sure everybody out there listening has enjoyed it. And thank you for listening. Cobblestones Chronicles will be back again next week, and we'll be looking at what else we know about Carterton. So thank you again. Have a lovely day, everyone. Bye.